Welcome to Faith and Freedom. For the next few minutes, we hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you as we discuss legal victories and challenges to your fundamental freedom and religious liberties. Faith and Freedom comes to you from Liberty Counsel, a civil liberties education and legal defense organization. Join us now as Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, explains the latest legal issues all across this country. In the courtrooms of America, Liberty Counsel is winning the battle for your constitutional freedom.
A federal appeals court upholds New York's ban on worship in public schools. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this decision. It's a 2-1 decision, Matt, that has been going on for a long time. It involves Bronx Household of Faith, a church that for a number of years has rented school facilities for its Sunday worship services. And it's gone through litigation for a number of years. In 2012, a federal district court issued an order blocking the school from banning the church. But now, in a 2-1 decision, a federal court of appeals has reversed that and said that the school can block churches that engage in worship from using their facilities. Now, they're making a distinction between religious viewpoint or speech and worship. So a church could use a facility that would be for some secular discussion, possibly even includes religious viewpoints. But as soon as it began to involve worship, then the school can ban that church or that group. Now, the question is, where do you cross the line between expressing religious viewpoints on a subject matter and actually engaging in worship?
And well, and where is there a distinction in the Constitution? I mean, what where it's a, that's an arbitrary, contrived line of distinction. You know, there's stacks of Supreme Court cases that affirm that public schools, if they're going to open their facilities for groups like the Boy Scouts and other groups and allow their facilities to be used, that they can't target people based upon a religious viewpoint or the religious content of speech up to and including worship. There's no, I mean, again, that's a false distinction. So why does this appeals court suddenly think that it can just discount, you know, rulings that the Constitution or that the Supreme Court has had in the past?
Well, it's unbelievable. This is a distinction that some secularists have tried to bring into the courts ever since the 2001 Good News Club case. In the 2001 Good News Club case, New York prohibited the Good News Clubs that are sponsored by or that are part of Child Evangelism Fellowship. They allowed the Boy Scouts to use the facility, but not Good News Clubs. Their reasoning was because Good News Clubs actually engaged in religious viewpoint, and they were prohibited from allowing an entity or a group that engaged in religious viewpoint from using the facilities, because if they did, they argued that they would violate the Establishment Clause. They went up to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, that's not correct. And in fact, you must allow the Good News Clubs to use the facility. Now, in the dissent, Stevens speaks about all the things that this Good News Club does. He's decrying the fact that they engage in what he calls worship, because they read and memorize Bible verses, they sing songs, and they pray. And the Supreme Court majority opinion said, yeah, we know that, but that doesn't really matter. But notwithstanding what the Supreme Court said, these secularists or extreme church-state separationists have tried to make distinctions between religious viewpoint, which they know they're going to have to allow because of the Supreme Court decision, and religious worship. And they're trying to define when that becomes religious worship. How can you know when just speaking about a subject matter from a religious point of view, Christian point of view, transcends over into worship? Where is that drawing line? What are the criteria for worship? If you open your event with a prayer, but otherwise you have secular discussions, if you open your event with a prayer and you're commenting about the history of the Bible and you're in America and you're speaking about religious viewpoints or education, you're speaking about religious perspectives, is that worship? Or do you have to sing hymnals? Do you have to sing songs? Do you have to raise your hands and have a praise and worship? Where does religious worship begin and where does it end? This would allow the government to come in and define what is worship. you know, if you go to a charismatic church versus going to a Roman Catholic traditional service or perhaps a Presbyterian high church style service, the worship is going to be a lot different.
Yeah.
So which one is worship? Which one's not?
Well, there, you know, there's an old adage, I'm paraphrasing here, that he who defines the terms has control. And that's what we see here with the left, with the secularist left, with progressives. If they don't like reality and they don't like the current situation, they redefine the terms and then recalibrate in order to try to get in their ends justifies the means methodology to try to get their way. That's what we're seeing here. Where is this idea of worship? That's not even they're setting a false premise that somehow there's even a distinction that the fact that it's worship even matters. Where does the Constitution says, you know, where does the Constitution say that the government has no right to infringe upon the free exercise of religion unless it's worship? It doesn't say that, Matt. And, you know, the ACLU has been pushing a radical rereading and redefinition of the U.S. Constitution for decades. Even their own promotional materials overtly advocate unconstitutional religious discrimination. And that's what we're seeing here. The ACLU says this, listen, quote, "The message of the Establishment Clause to the U.S. Constitution is that religious activities must be treated differently from other activities to ensure against government support for religion." That is absolute pablum. That is absolute nonsense, Matt.
Well, this case goes all the way back to 1995 when Pastor Hall and the church sued the school to be allowed to hold Sunday worship services, because this has been a controversy for many years, and New York's schools have tried whatever they can to change this. And so one time the case ultimately went up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals upheld a ban on the school when the argument was free speech. A ban on the church using the school when the argument was free speech. So then they went back down to the court and they changed the argument from free speech to free exercise of religion. And the lower court said, yeah, it's a free exercise of religion violation. So now that is up before the court, and that's the issue. Does it violate the free exercise of religion? And the court in a 2-1 decision said no. Now, the dissent on the case says that the Board of Education's policy that disallows religious worship services after hours in public schools, he believes, violates the Free Exercise Clause because it plainly discriminates, he writes in his dissent, against religious belief and cannot be justified by a compelling government interest. I would affirm the district court's permanent injunction, the dissenter says. But he was only one of three. The other two went the other way. This case, no doubt, is far from over, but this is the controversy. This is the issue that we have to continue to fight. Now, Liberty Counsel has been defending Child Evangelism Fellowship all across the country.
Dozens of cases.
And yeah, we represent them nationally. We've never lost one of those cases, but there's efforts like this to ultimately try to close the forums down so that people of faith can't have access to the forums.
Again, if they can redefine the terms and create this false notion that somehow if there's an element of worship, then that's a game changer, which this federal court of appeals has done here, well, then they're going to make some headway despite the realities and dozens of cases and the Supreme Court saying that no, it's discrimination. It's anti-religious discrimination to disallow Good News Clubs in this exact kind of situation in New York to occur. Where can the case go from here? What options are there?
Well, the two options that are left for Bronze Household of Faith is one, to ask the full panel of the federal judges on appeal to hear it, which is called en banc. That would be something I think ought to be considered. And then secondly, after that, go to the United States Supreme Court. They could certainly petition the United States Supreme Court now, but I would ask the entire full panel to hear the case on this one and then take the case from there, depending upon which way it goes, to the United States Supreme Court. And hopefully the en banc panel would reverse. Or when the Supreme Court takes it, hopefully the Supreme Court would reverse because this case sets a very bad precedent. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, or libertycounsel.com, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, Liberty Counsel advances religious freedom, the sanctity of human life and the family through litigation, education, and policy. We represent these kinds of cases, churches and Child Evangelism Fellowship, Good News Clubs, and others all over the country. If you know of situations in your country, in your county, your city, give us a call at 1-800-671-1776. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, sign up for the Liberty Alert. That's a periodic email we send out. We'll keep you up to date with issues affecting your family, faith, and freedom that we're involved with. You can also go to libertycounsel.com, and there you can sign up for our other emails that involve more substantive petition activism components so that you can be actively involved in advancing these same issues. That's libertycounsel.com or lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. We can accomplish a lot when we work together. Get informed and get involved today. Sign up for our free monthly newsletter, The Liberator. We will send it out to you free of charge. Stay informed with our Liberty Alert email updates. Just click on the website at www.lc.org or call us at 1-800-671-1776. Tune in next time to learn more about your rights right here on Faith and Freedom.